changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I'm going to be doing some speeches coming up on mindfulness and on dropping stress and gaining focus. And I realize that when I'm doing these, I tend to get talking really quickly. I think it's because I was in radio. Instead of just being present in the moment, which would be more mindful for myself. Dialectical behavior therapy, which was created by Marshall Linehan, which has been proven to be the only thing, well, one of a couple of things effective with people with borderline personality disorder, but also helpful with people with post-traumatic stress disorder, teaches mindfulness. And mindfulness has become very much of a buzzword today. And over the next half dozen or so jumpstarts, I'm going to share with you ways to become more mindful. The thing is, you've got to create a mindfulness practice, just like you create a habit of exercise or a yoga practice or something like that. And don't say you don't have any practices. You probably sit down in front of the TV at a certain time every night or go to bed at a certain night. We all have certain practices. And I'm wanting you to adopt one of these. If you really want to drop stress and gain focus over the next couple of weeks, you'll want to adopt a mindfulness practice. Let's talk a bit about mindfulness, though. That was a concept. You know, I get very much into words. I struggle with words. When I heard somebody talking about being positive, I had to look it up and begin to understand it more, and I'm glad I did. And let's start with the word mindful and what we might think if we didn't have any concept of what mindful was. Well, mind full, right? Mind full. I need my mind full. To which our ego immediately goes, your mind is already full. Your mind is filled to capacity. Your mind is trying to do 3,000 things at one time. Your mind is wondering if you closed the door when you started the jump start so it won't be noisy. Your mind is wondering if you left the coffee pot on. These are all things my mind could be wondering. I'm wondering when the guy's going to come today to help me do some work around the apartment. I'm wondering this. I could be wondering that. My mind is so full. Oh, by the way, did I send off that IRS form? Oh, I've got a shirt I need to return. Blah, 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 blah. Does this person like me? Is this person thinking about me? What happened with this relationship? Wonder what the weather's going to be like today, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when you hear the word mindful, I believe your ego is able to easily dismiss it out of hand because it convinces you that your mind is already full. And to that extent, I would agree that it is, but the best way I have come to understand it is this. Let me take a sip of coffee, because I didn't get to have coffee before we started. I slept a little later today. When I watch sports, which I don't do a lot, but I was watching sports the other night. I watched KU game with my son-in-law, and then we watched the Chiefs game, two things he never misses. So I watched those with him. And I noticed that in any sort of a sporting contest that's being televised or broadcast, you don't just have one person describing what's going on. Even as you look back in sports, into the early days of broadcasting, there was typically not just one person. Sometimes there was, you know. When I was growing up, we had Bob Fulton, the voice of the Carolina Gamecocks, who would call the games. But in modern times, they've discovered that you can keep the action and the interest, etc., going on in people's attention, which is the most important thing, by having multiple people. Now, do these multiple people have the same functions? No. You typically have an announcer, and then you have a commentator. It used to be called a color commentator. Don't know if that's true. But the idea is it's typically a former football player, if it's football, basketball player, if it's basketball, or coach or somebody, somebody with great knowledge of the game, but also somebody who has lots of stories and remembers the history of the game. And so when the game is being played, they can say, oh, well, that was just like Jasnowski in 67's, you know, AAA, whatever, okay? It's educational, it's informational, but it really does not give you much about what's going on in the game. And this is where mindfulness comes in. This is where you begin to understand what mindfulness is. If you've got an announcer and all the announcer is doing is saying what is happening in the game well enough so that those that are listening or watching can understand what is going on without having to look at the screen, that is the job of the announcer. That is what it means to be truly mindful. Take that in a second. Just being present to what is happening down for down in the football game, play for play in the basketball game, out for out in the bat, or the pitch for pitch in the baseball game, and just to describe what is happening, that is to be mindful. And that's what we're going for. When we say our mind is already full, my mind is full, and it's with all this stuff blathering on, that's the commentator. That's the commentator. The person who takes what happens and then adds in judgments, criticisms, additional information, stuff that's happened in the past, fears about the future. That's where we live. So for me, the best way to begin to understand mindfulness, and if we're going to approach this path toward enhanced and greater mindfulness, we've got to begin to understand what it means to be mindful. It's so difficult for us to separate ourselves from our thoughts. One of the great awakenings is when we begin to separate ourselves from our thoughts, when we realize that we have thoughts. Our thoughts are not us. Our thoughts are habitual. Our thoughts are reactive. And yet, nonetheless, we can choose new thoughts. I've been, again, presented with an opportunity for that just in the last few days. A lifetime worth of thoughts in a similar situation, or new thoughts in a similar situation. That is actively being mindful to what is. Think of some of the things that run through your head, the chatter, the clatter, and then you add on the news and what's going on Facebook and what your neighbors say, et cetera, et cetera. And we're all there. We're all there, okay? One of the things I appreciate about all of the tourists and the snowbirds being here is that it's not as quiet as it was. Now, that may sound strange, but I can walk out and have a conversation at about any time of the day, whereas in the past I couldn't. And that's one of the great benefits of working in an office, going to the water cooler or going to the microwave or the coffee pot and talking to people. And now I have that opportunity, and I notice that my neighbors want to connect with what they saw on the news, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a negative way of connecting. So I'm working on being that anchor for the broadcast instead of the commentator, being the person who asks new and better questions, who asks, what are you happy about? What are you having for dinner? What are you grateful for? What do you like about your boat? Why did you, are you grateful that you got assigned that boat slip, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So to become mindful is indeed to still the chatter in your mind. So when we talk about mindfulness, that's probably the number one thing. It's to still the chatter in your mind. It's to be present to what is, rather than your comments about what is and what might be and what was and what you're afraid of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Commentary is what most of us live our lives in. Buddhist practice, meditation, it's all about accepting what it is, what is. Life is suffering. And so we suffer in our minds when we are mindless, when we are wishing we had what was or what we want, rather than simply accepting and being grateful for what is. Anything that we have could be taken away at any moment, and then we would be upset about that. Instead of that, simply accepting and enjoying and appreciating what is. How many of you were fans of Better Call Saul? Anybody just put in BCS if you were a fan of Better Call Saul. Put that in the comment section. Jimmy McGill, the character on Better Call Saul, played by Bob Odenkirk, who later becomes Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad. His brother, and I can't think of, Chuck plays the famous actor. He has this thing where he can't be around electromagnetics make him sick, basically. And he starts seeing a therapist, and the therapist says, whenever you start to feel overwhelmed, begin to describe what you're seeing. So let me give you an example. I'm going to describe what I'm seeing. Black face clock with gold accents, black camera, green post-it note, black arrow pointed at the camera, picture of Teddy on the screen, my face in the mirror, in the image, my black t-shirt. When we fall into pure descriptive mode as to what is going on around us, that is the fastest way to become mindful. Period. Full stop. I'm going to teach you lots of cool things, and I want you to accept one of them. But if you're struggling, if you are feeling overwhelmed, I was talking with a friend the other day who was just overwhelmed. And one of the best things we can do in that moment is just to look around the room and describe what we see. Gray briefcase, black shirt, black music stand, blue walls. Describe the color. You can do the same thing with smells. You can do the same thing with sounds. As I sit here, I can hear cars and trucks going up and down Overseas Highway. That sounded like a small car. That sounds like a truck. You can become mindful in any moment when you don't judge what is going on and just begin to describe it. All right? So over the next several days, we are going to work on becoming more and more mindful in our lives, because we can't drop stress and at the same time be living in the commentary of our life instead of the anchor in our life.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.